day I went back to the place where I used to go. Today I saw the same old crowd I knew before. And when they asked me what had happened, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I am not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. And while the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Today I went back to the place where we used to live. My little boy ran and hid behind a door. And I said, son, never fear, you got a new daddy. Thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I am not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. And while the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. And while the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore.
You know, only a saved person can understand what that means. And we've all been there, particularly if you were saved later in life. You understand that not everybody got saved when they were 5, 6, 7 years old. Great majority of people got saved later in life, some in their teen years, some in their 20s and 30s, 40s, 50s, and a lot of water goes under the bridge in that amount of years, that amount of time. But thank God for Christ. Thank God that somebody had enough desire, had enough concern for your soul, that they gave you the gospel and shared Jesus with you and talked to you and was concerned about your eternal destiny. Well, I hope that you will allow me tonight, church, to speak practically to you. I want you to turn, if you would, to three different passages of Scripture. 2 Samuel 13, 1 Samuel 18, and Proverbs 18. All right, 2 Samuel 13, 1 Samuel 18, and Proverbs chapter 18. While you're turning there, I want to speak to you practically tonight, if I could, church, on this subject, the fruitfulness or the frowardness of friendship. The fruitfulness or the productivity or the frowardness or the perverseness or fraud of friendship. You see, not everybody that says they're your friend is your friend. There are some that come to you and want to be your friend for manipulative reasons. And it is up to you as a believer to be able to discern fruitfulness from frowardness. And I want to talk to you tonight about that subject. And I want to read, there are a number of friendships in the Bible, but I want to read you, if I could, two different friendships that are totally on two opposite ends of the spectrum from one another. So if you'll stand with me tonight, 2 Samuel chapter 13, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. And it came to pass after this, that Absalom, the son of David,
had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, which was his half-brother, the son of David, loved her. Now that's messed up right there, folks, already. Here's a half, a stepsister and brother, and here he is has affections for his stepsister. And the Bible says that he loved her. And I mean, this is how bad it was. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar. You know what he was doing, folks? He was lusting. That's what that means. He was lusting after his own sister. And it says that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. Do you understand what was already in his mind? He was already, if he had the opportunity, he would have done it himself. But he needed someone to encourage him a little bit. And I want you to notice and circle this next verse. But Amnon had a friend. Whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. Now I want you to notice this about this so-called friend. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. He wasn't one of your most upstanding individuals. And yet Amnon and Jonadab drew one another. It's kind of like mom and daddy always told you, birds of a feather flock together. And here he had and chose a friend. Nobody made him choose his friend. But he said he had a friend. His name was Jonadab. And he said unto him, why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it and eat it at her hand. Now, did he have any intentions of doing what it says? No. Because he was sick after her. You see, his friend says, listen, you wimp, I'll tell you how to get this done. This is what you do. You use manipulation. You use trickery. You use deception to get your way. Now, folks, let me say something to you. Here's supposedly a friend using another friend to get their way and telling them to do something that they knew absolutely was wrong. That is called a froward friendship, a fraud. It's a fraud. Let me show you a fruitful friendship. Turn, if you would, 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. And it came to pass, verse 1, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, speaking of David, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Now that's mentioned several times in the Bible. And I want to stop and clarify something here, regardless of what you have heard or read. Jonathan and David were not homosexuals. Okay? This is a fruitful friendship. You see, the reason people think it was a homosexual relationship is because people have lost the understanding of what true friendship is. And their hearts and soul was knit together as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Go down, if you would, to chapter 20 and verse 41. Chapter 20 and verse 41. The scripture says, "And as soon as the lad was gone," and again, you have to understand the story here, Saul wants to kill David. Jonathan and David's friendship now has been so close that Jonathan went in to his father and sought information about his feelings toward David. Well, Saul was still very angry with David and wanted to kill him. And so Jonathan said, "Listen, we'll meet in the field and I'll do such and such. And once that happens and my young man that's carrying my bow and carrying my arrows, as he's gone, we'll meet and step out and talk." And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of a place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself three times, and they kissed one another and wept with one another until David exceeded. You understand here why perverted people can take something that is so wonderful in Scripture and sincere and use it to be perverted? Can I say something to you? I have on many occasions hugged and kissed my brother on the cheek. I have hugged and kissed my father on the cheek, and I did it out of sincerity and out of love because of our relationship. That's what was going on here. These guys were friends. They had a fruitful friendship, totally contrary to the friendship of Amnon and Jonadab. Here you have one friend manipulating the other. You have now a friendship that is sincere and that is fruitful. And then I want you to find, if you would, Proverbs 18 and verse 24. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 24. "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." And I want to preach to you tonight, church, on that subject, the fruitfulness or frowardness of friendship. Now, Father, we do ask that you'd meet with us tonight. Bless us. Teach us from the Bible. Oh, Lord, this thing of friendship is so important to our Christian life. And I ask you, Lord, that you'd teach us something from the Bible about this area and about the things that we need to know about this type of relationship in our life. Have thine own way, we pray. For it's in Jesus' holy name we ask it. Amen. And you may be seated. In our lives, we experience influence from three basic relationships. First of all, we experience influence from a family relationship. You see, we hear a lot about the family and the importance of building a strong home and strong marriage and raising children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And by the way, we should, because family is very, very important. You see, it's one of the greatest influences that you will have in your life. It's a strong influence in our life. And we hear a lot about the family, and we ought to. May I say to you, number two, that not only do we experience family influence, but we also experience fatherly influence. You see, we also experience influence from God our Father. God's Word teaches us that our prayer life should comfort us, and God's blessing should encourage us, and the Holy Spirit provokes us to worship and service. You see, we need a strong fatherly influence. So we're going to receive influence from family. We're going to receive influence from our Heavenly Father. But may I say to you tonight that there's one area of influence we don't hear a whole lot about. Many times, most of us don't even address this area, and that is friend influence. That is, we have friend influence. Not a whole lot said about this area, preached about these types of relationships. Not a whole lot of instruction given about what to look for in a friend. How do I go about finding the right types of friends, or how to avoid a bad friendship? You see, yet a friend can outweigh the influence of God and family. Now, if you don't believe that, you ain't been around long enough. I'm telling you, friends can influence people away from God and away from family. That's how powerful friendships are. That's how close friendships can become. Some years ago, back in my youth, had a young man that lived around the corner from me. We played ball together. We rode bikes together. We grew up together. Our senior year in high school, him and another young man got together and they decided they were going to go out late in the night and do some things that they shouldn't have been doing. I love this young man. We had a good friendship, close friendship. But he decided that him and another young man that probably may not have been the best influence in his life got together one evening and got in a car and went down. There was a straightaway back in the country and from where we lived and where a lot of people would get on that straightaway. It was about a mile and a half, 2 miles, and they'd get in their car, and that's when they'd open that rascal up. And they'd go down that thing, just try to get that car going as fast as they possibly could. The problem was this night was a little different. This night they had planned to go out there, but this night they'd been smoking marijuana. See, Amnon had a friend. This night they got in their car and two problems arose. First of all, they smoked dope. Secondly, it was raining. And I don't mean sprinkling, I mean raining cats and dogs. But you know, when you get on dope and you smoke dope, you go out of your mind. So what does rain matter? So they got in their car after smoking dope, they got in their car and opened that thing up and got in excess of 100 miles an hour on a wet pavement. The car, the young man driving, my friend was the passenger. The young man driving lost control of that car. I played ball with both of the guys. This young man should never have gone out because I know the young man who was driving the car. I know the influence that he was. That car left the road. That car went airborne and went upside down into a creek. The young man that was driving was able to get out of the car. His door busted open. The other young man, the young man that I was friends with, lived right around the corner from me, played ball together, grew up together. Our senior year, died that night in a submerged car at the bottom of a flooded creek. You say, why? Because of a friend. He lost his life because of a friend's influence. Now, I'm here to tell you tonight, I did a lot of wrong things in my life. Some of them were my own doing, but some of them because of the influence of a friend. You see, but may I say, I've also had the opportunity to be influenced to do a lot of good things in my life. And you know who influenced me to do some good things? A friend. A friend can also influence you to do positive things, to do good things. You see, just because someone says, as I mentioned earlier, that they are your friend doesn't mean that they are. There's been countless numbers of people who have been swindled out of money by friends. There's been a countless number of people that have had their marriage destroyed by a friend. Children abused by a friend. But you know, most of the children, I read an article some time ago that most of the children in America that are abused verbally, physically, sexually today are abused by family or friend. A family member or a friend. You see, some have been lied about. Some have been slandered. Some are in prison today. And you know who got them there? A friend. You see, their so-called friend wouldn't stand up and speak for them now, because now their hide was on the line. You see, what I'm saying is tonight, church, that there are fruitful friendships and there are froward. There are fraud friendships. You see, all of these things happen by so-called friends. These people, in my opinion, that do these things don't meet the friendship detector test. You see, when Job went through the biggest crisis of his life, the Bible says he had three friends that showed up. Now, I'm convinced that those friends were genuine friends at one time. But in his time of crisis, when they came, they stared at him, and then they did probably the worst thing they probably could have done, opened their mouth. They didn't encourage Job. They spent the majority of their time trying to figure out what Job had done wrong to cause all this to fall upon him. They spent all of their time criticizing him. They spent all of their time judging him, trying to figure out, there's a reason, sir, that you're being judged by God. You know what kind of friendship I consider that? That's a fraud. That's a fraud friendship. You see, someone who does not put someone through the friendship detector test is going to end up with a Jonadab for a friend. And may I say to you tonight, if Jonadab is what you're looking for, I got some news for you. They're a dime a dozen on the street. And I promise you, you won't have to go looking for them. They'll come looking for you. They're looking for friends. You know why? Because they ain't got none. It's the reason they're on the streets. They don't have any sincere, genuine friends. You see, you want to go looking for the right types of friends. But if you want a quality friend, then you're going to have to work at it to find them. I want to take just a few moments tonight, church, and you can jot these down, you can jot the references down, you write them down, you can listen, you can get the CD, you can do whatever. But I want to try to help us all tonight. I'm tired of people being led astray out of the will of God, out of church, by a friend. By a friend. A fraud, may I say. They're not your friend. Anybody that's trying to lead somebody away from God, they're trying to cultivate a fraudulent friendship. May I say a couple of things, first of all, before I jump right into things. First of all, your friends should be saved friends. Your friends should be saved friends. You say, well, Brother Todd, can I have a lost friend? Well, let me help you with something now. A saved friend is in the family of God. An unsaved person is, of the Bible says, of their father, the devil. And you know the Bible says that they will do the things of their father. So you've got to be careful. You've got to be careful about associating and bringing people into your home that are unsaved friends. I cannot tell you how many times I've sat and talked with people, tears running down their face, that sat and talked to me and told me about how they were abused by the friend of the family. And their heartache was so deep. And they said, yes, Brother Todd, it was a friend. You need to be careful, Mom and Daddy, who you bring in your home. May I say to you today, you can't trust everybody. You can't trust them. That's the reason they need to go through the friendship detector test. And we're going to take a look at some things that we can put and find out tonight going through this. But I believe they should be saved, friends. May I say also, they should be loyal to Christ. They should be loyal to Jesus Christ. Now, with that said, let me talk to you about some things tonight about putting folks through a friendship detector test. Now, it is said, and you've heard me say this many times, it has been said that you will live an entire lifetime and have less than five true friends in your entire lifetime. You know, when I read that and heard that some years ago, I thought, oh no, I got lots of friends. Until I started thinking about who I would tell things to and who I would share the most intimate details of my life with. And I found out, you know what? I couldn't name five. Because most people will live and die and have less than five true friends in their entire lifetime. Now, how can we find quality friends? How can we find Jonathan and David type friendships and forsake the Jonadab Amnon type friendships? Well, first of all, take your Bible, Proverbs chapter 18. Turn back there if you would. Proverbs chapter 18. Let me read verse 24 one more time for you. It says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, even a blood brother. Now, here's the first thing. If we're going to cultivate, or if we're going to have quality friends, first of all, we need to be willing to take time to cultivate the friendship. We must be willing to take time to cultivate the friendship. You know, when you go back and read about the friendship of David and Jonathan, did you notice there in 1 Samuel chapter 18, it says their hearts and souls were knit together? Mrs. Barlow does some knitting. And I've watched her, and she's brought me items that she's done that. You know, when you look at something that has been knitted, it means that it is closely intertwined. It means it is closely fit together. And may I say, Mrs. Barlow, I doubt very seriously that it took you 30 seconds to knit that. I doubt very seriously that it took you 3 hours to knit that. Many times it takes days and weeks to get it accomplished. You see, what we want to do is we want to cultivate a friendship in one service. We want to cultivate a friendship in a short amount of time. And the friendship that David and Jonathan had was cultivated over a process of time. They talked. They spent time together. You see, anybody that wants to rush into a friendship, watch out. Watch out for somebody that just wants to walk up and says, can I be your friend? A friendship must be cultivated. It must be time spent with each other. You must sit down and talk and find out what their goals in life are. You see, instead of just inviting someone to be your friend or cultivating, how about talking and finding out what their goals in life are? See, some of them may want to be a riverboat gambler. And you want to be friends? We need to talk. I believe Jonathan and David spent time together. You see, when you cultivate a friendship, what this does is it gives you time to observe their character. It gives you time to observe their character. Will they lie? Because see, if they'll lie about something, they'll lie about you. You see, if they'll deceive someone, they'll deceive you. And so, it gives you an opportunity during the cultivating process to observe their character. Can I say this tonight? And I hope that you understand the spirit in which I'm saying it. You know, everyone at some point in life has been hurt to some degree. And many times what happens, instead of going and getting the type of fulfillment that we need to feel that hurt, which is Christ, which is the love of God, we start looking for other people to fill that void in our life. For instance, a young lady, many times that may grow up without a father. Maybe there's not a fatherly influence in the home. Maybe there's not the influence there that she would like to be. The tendency would be to look for that male fulfillment in another place. Now, what I'm trying to say to you is, young ladies, if that's your case, fill that void with Jesus. Fill that void with serving God, with loving God, with the Word of God. And let me tell you something. If you love God, if you serve God, He'll fill that void with the right person for you someday. Stop trying to fill it with somebody else. That void in your life, fill it with God. Fill it with Christ. You see, we need to be willing to take time to cultivate the friendship. Cultivate it in our life. It gives us an opportunity to observe someone's character. That's what David and Jonathan did. That's the reason the Bible says their souls were knit together. It takes time. May I say to you, number two, turn if you would to Proverbs chapter 17. I want to compare two verses here. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17. Now listen, what we're doing is we're taking an individual and we're putting them through the friendship detector test. And if we're going to do that, first of all, it's going to take time to cultivate a friendship. Look at number 2, Proverbs 17:17. It says, a friend, and may I say, a fruitful friend, a genuine friend. The Scripture says, loveth at all times. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Now I want you to underline that because that's very, very important. Because now I want you to hold your place there, and I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. Here's the second detector of friendship. That friend or that person must display sincere godly love. That person must display sincere godly love. 1 Corinthians 13. Notice what it says here. Charity suffereth long, verse 4. Is that not what he just got finished saying? A friend loveth that. How often? All times. And it says, charity suffereth long, is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. You want a fruitful friend? They need to display sincere, godly love. They, the Scripture says, a genuine friend loveth at all times. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 22. Let me show you the opposite end of this. Proverbs 22, verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man, thou shalt not go. He says now, a friend, a genuine friend, loves at all times. And then he says, make no friendship with an angry man. Now folks, I don't have time tonight to develop that, but do you understand there are a whole lot of offshoots off of an angry man? There's bitterness. There's a critical attitude. there's deceptiveness, lying. All of these things are generated from the heart of an angry man. And he says, make no friendship with a person like that. Make no friendship with someone who has a short fuse. You know, have you ever met somebody that is like they're just mad at the world? I mean, it doesn't matter. They're mad at everything, everybody, anything, and their face shows it. They're just mad at everything. You know what God says? Make no friendship with a person like that. Because I'm telling you, they're going to vent on somebody, and you may be the one that they're going to vent on. Make no friendship with an angry man. But he says, a friend loveth at all times. You see, what he's saying here is a friend loves in the good times and the bad times. They are genuine in forgiveness. You know why? Because they've experienced the forgiving love of God. And they understand that we're commanded to forgive one another because Christ has forgiven us. You see, a sincere, fruitful friend will display sincere, godly love. They will have genuine forgiveness. They're willing to restore. They're willing to pick you up. I don't care how many times you fall. The Bible says a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. I just wonder if some of that riseth up again is where a friend helps him. You see, some of us would have quit God a long time ago if not for a good friend. Some of us would have walked out of this church, walked out on God, walked out on ministry, and may have been a hoodlum if somebody hadn't stopped us. You know, the pressures of life are strong. And every one of us in here have wanted to take the old white flag. Say, you know what? I've about had enough of this. I've about had enough of this devil thing. I've about had enough of him on my case. And boy, we're just right there, brother. I mean, we're just right there. We're given the command to start raising the white flag. And just about the time we started to give the command and we started to reel the white flag up, a friend stepped in. A Jonathan stepped in. A David stepped in. You know why? Because a friend loveth at all times. All times. They're genuine in forgiveness. They're willing to restore. They pray for you. They stand by you. Did you notice in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24, it says, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A friend that will stick closer to you than your own blood brother. Your own blood kin. And you know, some of us can say tonight that you've got friends like that. Because some of us have brothers and sisters that may not know the Lord, that may not be in church, that may be away from God, that may be in the world. And may I say to you, some of you have friends that stick closer to you in the Lord's work than your own blood kin do. Now, all I'm saying to you is a friend should display sincere, godly love. You see, this is the type of person who does not judge you or condemn you even in your darkest hour. Anybody ever had a dark hour in your life? I'm talking about that where you were in such deep sorrow, where you were in such deep hurt that you just felt, you know what, I don't know if I can ever pull myself out of this. And God sent you a friend. God sent you a friend that displayed godly love. You see, this is the type of friend that you can rely on and talk to maybe when there's marital problems or kid problems or lust problems. You see, this is the person that won't text everybody and relay what you told them. This is the type of person that won't go onto their Facebook page and tell everybody your problems. Amen, Brother Todd. Isn't this good? Hey, I'm just telling you. We need friendships like this. Fruitful friendships. By the way, that's gossip. That hurts people, folks. And let me tell you something. You break someone's trust, they'll never tell you another thing in your entire life. Mark it down. And by the way, they'll tell other people that you can't tell you something. And that's the reason you say, well, I don't know. So-and-so, they act differently toward me anymore. There may be a reason. It may be that you've cultivated a relationship that has deemed itself one that likes to talk. Folks, I've learned, you know what? Keep your mouth shut. You know, when your mouth's not moving, there's not a whole lot of damage you can do with your tongue. I'm just telling you, folks, you know what's got me in trouble more than anything in my life? This. Right there. My mouth. Growing up. You know what? Listen, I'm telling you. You know why I got the thing that I got more spankings for than anything? Running my mouth. And boy, you know what? I could run it too. And I'm telling you, listen, back in my day, there was big time trash talking before there ever was trash talking these days. I'm just telling you, you want to find a fruitful friend? Look for a friend that displays godly love. Here's number three, Proverbs 19. Turn, if you would, Proverbs 19 and verse 6. First of all, friendship has to be cultivated. If we're going to find a friend, a genuine friend, they need to display sincere, godly love. All right, Proverbs 19, verse 6. Many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. Now, here's number three. You want to find a sincere, fruitful friend? Then you find somebody that's not there to get, but to give. You find somebody that's there to give rather than what they can get out of that relationship. I'm so tired of people manipulating. I'm so tired of people using people to get their way. That's not a friend. That's a Jonadab. You see, looking for someone that's interested in your well-being. Somebody that you know has the gift of helps. Y'all know that's in the Bible, right? But you know, there's a whole lot of spiritual gifts. We ain't got time to talk about that either. But you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you'll find a pretty good list of them. Find people to be your friend that have the gift of helps, that are looking to see what they can give to the relationship rather than what they can get from the relationship. Yeah, we got too many people that want to be friends or nothing but stinking, sucking leeches, trying to suck the life out of people. Hey, I'm telling you, my friend, if they don't meet the friendship detector test, tell them to keep walking. Can't be your friend. Ah, you must think you're better than I am. No, I just have to choose my friends. And I have to choose them wisely. Because I remember I read a place in the Bible where a certain man had a friend, and his friend wasn't very good. You see, it needs to be somebody willing to sacrifice for you. Somebody that's willing to sacrifice time. I'm talking about the kind of person that you get on the phone and call up and say, listen, you know what? I need help. What do you need, man? I need somebody that would be willing to come and help me move this Saturday night or this Saturday evening. And I know it's short notice. Hey, you don't even have to ask no more. What time need to be there? And are you providing pizza? Right? I'm talking about the type of friendship that they're willing to sacrifice time and maybe even money. Not the type of people that will use you to benefit themselves, try to suck you into a cosign. Amen, Brother Todd, isn't this good? Try to suck you into a cosign and then leave you with the bill. You know what that is? That's a Jonadab. That's a fraud friendship. You better be careful. Or say, hey, listen, man, can you loan me $500? I've made it a practice, folks, that my friends, I will tell them when they come to me, they said, Brother Todd, can you loan me so much? No, I sure will not. Now, I'll give it to you, but I ain't going to loan it to you. You see, the thing about it is, if I loan it to them, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to get irritated if they don't give it back to me. Amen? But if I give it to them, it ain't going to bother me a bit whether you give it back or not. I'm just saying, you know what we need? We need friends that are in it not to get, but to give into the relationship. You see, any person that's only around you for what you can get from them or what they can get from you, that's not a fruitful friend. That's a fraud. That's a fraud friendship. You need to be wise. Put them to the test. Watch them. Cultivate it. Number four, Proverbs 27 and verse 6. Proverbs 27 and verse number 6. Proverbs 27 and verse 6. This is going to be a toughie, but we're okay. We're thick-skinned, right? Proverbs 27, 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. But the kisses of an enemy, that's a fraud, are deceitful. Say, what does this mean, Brother Todd? Skip down to verse 17. Let me read you one more. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Here's number three. A true friend will tell you the truth. A true friend will tell you the truth. If you're a jerk, they'll tell you you're a jerk. Yeah, they will. If they say you're obnoxious, they'll tell you, you know what, you're obnoxious. If they say, you know what, you shouldn't have done that, you did this, you hurt their feelings, they're not afraid to tell you the truth. And the Scripture says that faithful are the wounds of a friend. Listen, they're not trying to wound you on purpose to hurt you, they're trying to help you. You see, they're going to tell you the truth whether you like it or not. You know what that is? Wait a minute, don't get angry at them. That's a sincere friend. That's a fruitful friendship. Maybe that you say, Brother Todd, maybe that's why I don't have any friends, because I don't take correction very well. Maybe. Because, by the way, did it not say a man that hath friends must show himself what? That means exactly what you expect. Guess what you got to do? You got to also perform as well. See, it may be the reason some of us don't have friends, because we ain't a good friend to others. And see, a friend's going to tell you the truth regardless whether you like it or not. They're going to point out areas of your weaknesses. Now, the thing about it is we ought to point them out ourselves. We ought to know what they are. But you know what a true friend will do? They'll point out your weaknesses. And we don't like that, do we? Now, we don't like people pointing out our weaknesses, but you know what? Thank God that there's somebody that has enough guts to look you in the face and tell you, you know what? You better watch yourself in this area. I see some things. You're cultivating something here that's going down the wrong road. They'll point out your weaknesses, but you know what? They'll also point out your strengths. You see, a sincere friend that'll tell you the truth, they'll make you aware of signs of spiritual laziness, such as they may call you and say, where were you tonight in church? Wow. How dare you call me up and ask me where I was in church? You better thank God somebody cares about your soul. You know, you better be glad that somebody gets on the phone and realize you weren't here. Because there's a lot of people who may not care. And you found, hey, listen, you know what that is? That's a sincere, fruitful friendship. They're not afraid to get on the phone and say, hey, where were you, man? Well, you stayed home, didn't you? You didn't have an excuse, did you? No. Well, I'm telling you, you don't want to make that a habit. And they'll tell you the truth. Now, you know what? If you hang up on them, they're going to call you right back. You say, well, I just won't answer. They'll leave a message. You know what that is? That's a friend. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to help you. They're trying to love on you. They're trying to display godly love. They'll make you aware of signs of spiritual laziness, whether it be in service, whether it be church attendance, whatever it may be. May I say also, they can detect a bad spirit by looking at your countenance. I cannot tell you how many times that something was rumbling in my heart and a friend came up to me and said, Brother Todd, what's going on? I can tell something's wrong. What's wrong? And you know how we do. Oh, no. Yeah, there's something wrong. No, man, I'm fine. No, there's something wrong. Come on now. Come on, what's going on? Well, now that you ask. You know what that is? It's called a friend. You better thank God you got somebody that'll notice your countenance. Let me tell you something. There's something about the Bible talks about when the countenance falls. There's a friend. You know what a true friend will do? He'll recognize it. You know what a fraud will do? He won't care. He won't care. Or if they do ask and you tell them, oh, come on, build a bridge and get over it. You know what? They're a fraud. They can detect a bad spirit by looking at your countenance. So far we've learned that you got to cultivate a friendship. Look for someone that displays sincere godly love. They're in it not to get, but what they can give to the relationship. They'll tell you the truth whether you like it or not. I want you to notice something quickly here before we move to the last one. That's Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28. The Bible says a froward man, that's a fraud, that's a perverse man, soweth strife. Now I want you to notice this. And a whisperer separateth chief friends. You see, on the opposite end of this thing, a friend that's not a true friend won't do any of this. They won't point out anything. They won't come to you. They won't, listen, they're not concerned about your well-being. And it says a whisperer, and by doing that, guess what it does? It separates friendships. You ever had a close friendship with somebody? And the whispering factor entered into that friendship? I'm talking about going and telling or talking about you, maybe in a false time or a false way, to someone about you because of maybe an issue that came in your friendship. The scripture says, you know what a whisperer does? And by the way, you know what whispering is? That's talking where nobody can hear it. Right? Amen, Brother Todd. See, nobody can hear you texting. Amen. Nobody can hear you on your Facebook, right? He said, well, I didn't say it, but you wrote it. And it's the same thing. Boy, this is so good, isn't it? It's good stuff. I'm just telling you, folks, friends are destroying the people of God. You say, oh, the devil made me do it. No, it is your friend, for most part, that made us do it. Now, let me give you one more. Turn, if you would, to Proverbs 27. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 9. So, Brother Todd, are you worked up about this? Yeah, I'm just tired of seeing people pulled out of church by Jonadabs. That they think this is their friend only to find out that they do and give them what I'm about to read you in this last thing, a sincere friend. Proverbs 27 and verse 9. Proverbs 27 and verse 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. You know what a friend will do? A fruitful friend? They're a source of counsel for you. They're a source of counsel for you. Look at the opposite end of this. Look at Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 9. Proverbs 17, 9. He that covereth the transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. You know how to cut your throat on your friendship? Break confidence. Break confidence. Break your trust that you have built for all these years in your friendship, and I'm telling you, it'll separate that friendship. I've known people that were like this. And they counseled and had and were sincere friends for years and years and years. And one of them went to someone else and told them something they had told them in confidence. And now they won't even speak to each other in public. You know why? You know what was broken? Confidence was broken. Trust was broken. You see, a sincere friend is a source of counsel. It's somebody that displays godly wisdom. It's somebody that walks with God. It's somebody that their life bears out their trustworthiness. You've watched, you've listened, you've seen, you've cultivated the friendship, you've been able to observe their character. You see, they're a source of counsel for you. You see, a froward friend may cost you your testimony, your integrity, or in my friend's case, your life. You see, that counsel he got that night was not good counsel. Smoking dope's not good counsel. Going 100 miles an hour on a wet road in the dark at night, raining cats and dogs, is not good counsel. And it cost him dearly. It cost him his life. So a friend put him through the friendship detector test. Oh, by the way, can I put a PS on something here? Can I give some advice to kids and teens? Let your parents choose your friends. You say, why should I let my parents choose my friends? I've got enough sense to choose the right friends. No, you don't. You know why? Because I didn't. Let your parents choose your friends, because your little friendship detector system is all malfunctioned. You say, how does it malfunction? It's called puberty. And it messed up your whole system. And your detector system, man, you can't detect right from wrong. So how can you detect a good friend from a bad one? Let your parents, who have matured, choose your friends for you. Number two, let your parents approve your friends. Let your parents approve your friends. I remember we had a kid lived several houses down from us growing up. I mean, wow, they were wild, man. And boy, that's kind of appealing sometimes to the wild, that wild life. You look down there, and man, they got all that freedom and stuff. And man, my mom and daddy won't let me do that. Oh, let me do that. There's a reason for that. And man, we want so bad to get tangled up in that, don't we? And my parents told me over and over again, you stay away from them. You stay away from them. Don't you go down there. And boy, I just had to. You know what I came back with? A black eye. They were right. Number three, let your parents meet any potential friends. Look at me, young people. No secret friends. No secret friends. You know what they are? They're frauds. If they won't come talk to your parents, they're frauds. They're in it for the wrong reasons. They're in it for what they can get, not what they can give. Next, listen to your parents' counsel about your friends. You know why? Because their detector system's up and running full speed. I mean, mama's radar, they know it. You know why? They see the countenance. They see the character. They see the attitude. And man, I'm telling you, mama, that radar can home in. Bad. Fraud. You better listen, or you're going to come back with a black eye. And then may I say to you, young people, number five, have a submissive spirit when your parents tell you to drop some friends. Have a submissive spirit when your parents tell you, you know what? Drop them like a hot potato. But mama, But Daddy, you don't understand. Yeah, they do understand. You know why? Because they had some jerks just like it for friends when they grew up. And you know what? They're meeting all the criteria that the mistake that they made. I'm just telling you, young people, if you don't listen, some of you are going to lose your purity. You're going to lose your testimony. That's the reason your parents are trying to help you, young teenagers, not to get attached to someone from the opposite sex. You know why? They'll steal your heart from your parents. Listen to me. They're a Jonadab. They're not in it for what they can give. They're in it for what they can get out of that. You say, but are we against boys liking girls and girls like... No, because if you didn't, I think there's a problem. We're not against that at all. We're out against somebody trying to steal your heart away from your mom and daddy, though. Because that's where you need to give your heart. You see, not all people who start out as friends may continue as your friend. You see, not everybody remains as a fruitful friend. Some go from fruitfulness to frowardness overnight. Example, Job's friends. Just like that. So here's my advice to all of us. Evaluate your friendships frequently. Evaluate your friendships frequently. Because you're either going to have fruitful friendships or you're going to have froward friendships. You're going to have genuine, sincere friends or you're going to have frauds. There's a Jonadab waiting for every one of you. And you know what? He'll give you counsel that'll destroy your life. Just like it destroyed Amnon's life. You know where Amnon ended up not too long thereafter? Dead. You say, well, that wasn't Jonadab's fault. Oh, yeah, it was. He's the one that gave him the counsel. And Amnon's dead. Do you know where he got his advice from? A friend. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Church, I just wanted to be practical tonight and not real preachy, just trying to help us tonight to realize that some of us need to evaluate our friendships. Some of us need to step back in life and look who we're cultivating a relationship with, a friendship with. Some of us need to step back and realize that some of our friends, and you listen to me, folks, with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, there's some friendships you need to drop of people that are in this church that aren't going the direction they ought to go. Hey, I'm just telling you, folks, there's Jonadabs on the street, there's Jonadabs in the church. May I say to you, there's also some great, great, great people in this church that can make a great, great friendship if you'll cultivate it. Now, Father, I pray that you'd meet with us tonight during this invitation time. Have your way. Help us to evaluate ourselves, our relationship with friends. Oh, Lord God, maybe there's somebody in here tonight that's heart has been deceived and stirred up over a false fraud friendship. Bless them. Help them to recover quickly. Have thy way in this invitation. And with heads bowed and eyes